Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I will preach the word of God this evening from the scripture part that we have been reading. And I read a few words, the first part of verse 26 of Genesis 1. Genesis 1, verse 26, the first part where we read the holy word of the Lord. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And we also use the Heidelberg Catechism, like we have been reading from question and answer 6. And the theme for the sermon is God created man good. God created man good. Congregation, it happened once in the Netherlands that there was a certain building with apartments, so with more levels. And there were balconies at the outside of the building. And it happened that at the balcony of a higher level were some people outside. And all of a sudden, that balcony fell down and destroyed all those balconies under it. So it was really terrible to see the damage in that building. And the worst was, people died when it happened. And immediately after that, the question came up, how could this happen? What is the reason? And some already knew the answer and would say, well, there was a mistake in the construction. The builder made a serious mistake. And afterwards they investigated it, and it seemed that that was true. The builder made a mistake. How terrible. People died so unexpectedly because of that mistake that was made in building that apartment building. I was thinking about it. When we read the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 3, question 6. Did God then create man so wicked and perverse? We have seen in the previous Lord's Day how perverse and depraved man is. I am prone by nature to hate God and my neighbor. So it is as if we see a picture of a house that is ruined, that is destroyed. And the first question that comes up is, well, who is to be blamed? How could this happen? If you would compare that picture of that ruined house to a new house, well, it's shocking. It's a shock to see that. And how is it possible? If you see the depravity, like it is explained in the Heidelberg Catechism, in the life and the heart of man, the question is, how could it happen? No, that's not a question. No, the question is different. It says, did God then create man so wicked and perverse? That is bad. That such a question can come up. And of course, the Heidelberg Catechism is asking it in this way with a reason. Because it is well known that so easily that thought can and will be in our heart. God is to be blamed. That is the sin of paradise. We blame our neighbor or we blame God. And people are still the same. So it's important to ask this question and to listen to the answer. Can we blame God? If that was the case, then I could hide behind that what God has done. And I would be without blame and without guilt. And is that true? Can we blame God for the sin in our hearts? People do blame God. Oh, we see so many sins, so deep in our nature. In our days, we see it in, and we see it in the whole world history, sins that are deep within us. People are confused in emotions, in desires. There's confusion even about gender and sexuality. And we so easily blame the Lord and say, well, that's just how I am. And that's how God made me. That is not true. The Heidelberg Catechism, we are not denying that it can be a deep struggle inside. But it is so important that we see clearly that we cannot blame God. And, well, we all are prone to do it. With any sin that we do, there might be someone here that says, well, yeah, I have a character that I can become very angry. You know, that's just how I am. That's my nature. That's how I am born. So what can I do? And you hear that we try to hide away and even to blame our Creator or any other sin that you experience, that you just say, that is how I am. So it's my character. It's my nature. That is too bad. That's not something to hide behind, but it makes it even worse, isn't it? It's not what you do only, but it is how you are. So that shows how much we need to humble before the Lord. And it is so important that we will admit that it is a reason to humble before the Lord. Because there is the beginning of renewal. If we admit and acknowledge that even those deep feelings or those things in my character are against the will and the word of God. If you would say, well, you know, it's just how I am. So, that's not a problem that I have it, as long as I don't behave in the wrong way. That is strange. That is wrong. That is not good to think that way. Then you would say, well, the root is not a problem, as long as there is not a plant growing, as long as I do not behave that way. And then, yeah, you bring yourself in a very complicated situation. But as soon as we are humbled enough before the Lord to acknowledge, well, that's in my character, that wrong thing deep inside, or in my feelings is wrong before God, then there is a situation that I have to kneel down before the Lord and say, Lord, oh, this is how I am. And I know that it is against thy will to feel or behave in this way. Oh, Lord, that thou would change my heart and my life, and that thou would heal me. And that I would even change those deep things inside. And that I would give me the power to fight against those sins in my character. And I would able to even to change them. And I know there are certain sins in our character and in our emotions, our feelings, that we might have to fight against our whole life, with the help and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that we never would blame the Lord and make the situation worse and more complicated, and that we would hinder ourselves in such a way to kneel down and even to confess our sins that are so deep in our nature. Did God then create man so wicked and perverse? Certainly not. By no means. Oh, let us never think that. That's really a trick of Satan. That's really a snare of Satan to catch us deeper in the mud of sin, in the corruption and depravity of our hearts. And the Catechism is very clear about it. By no means. Never think that. Never blame God. God is good. He's wise. He's perfect. He's God. God created man good. That is what we have read from the Word. God created man good. Verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So, God has created man good. Maybe you say, that's about Adam, isn't it? That's about Eve. So that's 6,000 years ago, when God created everything in 6 days. Now we are living so many years, ages later. And I'm born in sin. So, yeah, is that just? Is that right? Is that honest to say that I was created good because I'm born in sin, like David is confessing in Psalm 51? So, yeah, I never had that perfect situation that Adam had in paradise. I see. I understand what you say. But we have to listen in a very humble way to the Word. And the Word is teaching us that we were created in Adam. So that we are created in a situation of unity with Adam. He was the head of the whole humankind. So when Adam was created good, we were already as his descendants in him. And he was responsible in paradise for the whole human race. That's what the Word is teaching. And yeah, our proud heart and our human way of thinking has a hard time to accept that. But I really pray and hope that the Lord has opened our eyes in such a way that we find Adam here inside. That pride of sin, of rebellion against God, that sinful desire to be like God, I find it here in my own heart. And so when I see that, I really admit that I am a child of Adam. And so what can I say? God created man good, and after his own image. We can never blame God. It is so important. If we experience salvation, we have to come to that point in our life that we will not blame God. God created man good and after his own image, in true righteousness and holiness, that he might rightly know God his creator. So God created man good. And we have lost that in paradise. It's like a boy going to the shop for his parents to buy something. And then, instead of buying the stuff that he had to buy for his parents, he's buying candies. Now he has no money anymore to buy the stuff for his parents. And then he comes home without money and without what he had to buy. And then his father is asking him and is punishing him. And then he said, but I don't have the money. But his father said, I gave it to you. And you wasted it in your own way. So, yeah, you cannot buy it now. But it's your own fault. You are to be blamed. So we lost in paradise what God gave to us. He created us after his own image in true righteousness and holiness. What does it mean that it says God created us after his own image? We read in Genesis 1, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Well, it's good to see that there's written, let us make man. So, that us is plural. And it's showing us already in the Old Testament something of that God is a Trinity. It is like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together. They decide to make man after or in the image of God. So what does that mean? To be created after the image of God. Well, does it mean that we human beings outwardly look like God? No, that is not a meaning. Because we know that God is a spirit. This morning in the catechism class we started with the Belgic Confession of Faith. And there we are taught about how God is. That he is a fountain of all good. But also that God is a spiritual being. So what does it mean that God is a spiritual being? Well, it means that God is not material or physical like we human beings have a body, although we also have a spirit, a soul. But God is spiritual, like angels are spirits, usually not seen, although they can appear in a visible way. And God is a spirit, so he is everywhere. But he is invisible. We do not see him normally. God is a spirit. So, yeah, it cannot be that we are created in a physical way after or in the image of God. Although, yeah, man is created in a very special way. That is true. Someone said, well, isn't it special that we see that most animals, they look down to the earth to get something in the mud. Like if you think about a pig getting something to eat in the mud. And man is created to walk in a way that he can look up to heaven where God is, for whom he is created. That's a nice thought. And how sad it is that many human beings behave like pigs, just trying to find something in the mud of this earth and not looking up where it comes from God. That is too bad. But to be created in or after the image of God is not that God has a body or that we have a body and that it looks like God. No, it's something else. So what is it? Well, it means that God created man different from animals. There are some attributes that man have and animals do not have. And that we can see in a perfect way in God. And God gave us something of that attribute that belongs to him. And in that way we are in a spiritual way created in or after the image of God. And now the question can be that we ask, well, but how do we know what it means? Where can we find it in Scripture, what we are talking about when we say that God created man after or in his image? And there are a few verses in Scripture teaching us about it. When we read a scripture about how God is renewing man, like he planned in creation or he designed man to be, then that is revealing to us how God created us. Let me show you from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 4. There we read in verse 24, or let me start at 23, where Paul says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So there we have two attributes that God gave in creation to man, in which we see the image of God. "And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." So when the Holy Spirit is working in the heart of a man, a woman, a boy, a girl, he's going to renew man after the image of God. And two things that are involved in that renewal we find here: righteousness and true holiness. So that's how God, there are two things that we can say from Scripture about being created after the image of God. What does it mean to be created with that attribute of righteousness? Well, that means that God gave us in creation to be able to see what is good and right. And we do not find that in animals. They have an instinct, you could say, and they will try to get a reward, maybe. You can tease them things. They will try to escape from a punishment. But there is not that inward awareness about which Paul is even speaking in a letter to the Romans. When the Gentiles do the things of the law, not having the law, they are a law to themselves. So God has put that awareness inside, even after falling in sin, that we discern between right and good. But that image of God is broken when we fell in sin in paradise. Still, there's some pieces left, you could say. If you have a nice face, and children, I put it to the concrete floor, and it will break in pieces. Oh, that's terrible. Now, it's useless. But if you look very well, you can still see that it has been a beautiful face, isn't it? So, that is the case with man. After falling in sin, you can still see some of those pieces of the image of God in man, that there's still, like Paul says, in the Gentiles to be seen certain awareness of right and wrong. So righteousness that we can discern between right and wrong, God has put it in man and not in animals. We are created after the image of God. And the other thing that Paul is writing about in the letter to the Ephesians is holiness. What does it mean? Holiness? Well, you can say holiness is to be set apart. Apart for God. So holiness means that man is created with that attribute, that he is aware that the goal of his life is to live for a higher being, his creator. That we are created to live in that dedication to our creator, to God. And that's what we see everywhere in this world. That man, even those tribes that do not have the scripture, the Bible, are looking for a being above them to give glory. And they do it in a sinful way by making graven images. Or even the modern people in modern society, they try to find a spiritual higher being or level. So there's a certain awareness in man still left that we can only be really man according to the plan that God had, the design that God had with our life, when we live for our Creator, Him, God, who is above us. Two things that we can find here about being created after the image of God in true righteousness and holiness. And the third thing, that he might rightly know God, his Creator. So that man is created in a way that he can know God, his Creator. We read that God came to Adam and Eve and they knew him. And they had that sweet communion and fellowship with God in paradise. Oh, you can have a desire in your heart to that situation. If you know something of that glory, that grace, that love of the Lord. To know God. That's where we are created for. And you remember, you might remember what the Lord Jesus says in John 17. That prayer of the high priest, where he's praying, and this is eternal life. You could say unlimited life or real life. This is eternal life, that what we lost in paradise, spiritual life, including spiritual life. This is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. So to know God, that glorious being, our Creator, the eternal, the almighty, the all-knowing, the omnipresent God, to know him, I, human being, smaller than a piece of dust, compared to this God. How wide, how great, how big is the universe, and God is, he's eternal, he's infinite, he's unspeakable great, and I know God. That's real life, that's eternal life. That's what God gave in creation. That's part of that being created after the image or in the image of God. You can also find a scripture verse about that in the letter to the Colossians. Chapter 3, you can find something about that in verse 10, where we read, "And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him." So now, we have three things taught by the Word about what it means to be created after the image of God. And, well, I'm not saying that there is no more. Those things are clearly found in the Word, to have righteousness and holiness and knowledge of God. What a wonderful thing. And oh, how sad when we think about that we lost it all when we fell in sin in paradise. We cannot blame God about it. When we read that it changed, if you read in the book of Genesis, then you read that afterwards Adam got a son, and we read in Genesis 5 verse 3, "And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image and called his name Seth. So, yeah, Adam was created after the image of God. In such a deep relationship to the living God that Paul could say in Athens that we are his generation. We come from God. He created us in a very special way, in a very special relation to him. And we lost it. We lost it because of our rebellion against God, a rebellion that is still to be found in the hearts and lives of every human being. When you think about it, you can cry, isn't it? But we lost. That is explaining that deep emptiness in the hearts and lives of people. And people try to find fulfillment and satisfaction in this world in many ways, and they cannot find it because they lost paradise. They lost that sweet relation with the living God. No, God is not to be blamed. By no means. God created man good and after his own image, in true righteousness and holiness, that he might rightly know God his Creator, heartily love him, and live with him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise him. That is the high goal and end of man. Let us sing, before we continue, let us sing Psalter 287, stanza 1 till 3, 287, stanza 1, Thy Spirit, O Lord, makes life to abound. The earth is renewed and fruitful the ground. 287, stanza 1 till 3. congregation, the Lord created man with a very high goal. Well, God gave man a very special position in creation. It's good to see that God created everything, and that after that, everything was created. God created the earth, and He filled the earth with all creatures, plants and animals, and after that, God created man. Why was that? Well, you could say God created man as the top of creation under Him, so that man would rule over what God had created, have authority over everything. And we see the love of God in it, that God created this earth and filled it with all the beauty of all the creatures that we can still see. So He made it like, you could say, like a house where man could live. He prepared everything, like probably a couple would do when they are going to live somewhere. They might prepare the house, clean it up, make it nice, fill it with furniture, and then it's ready to receive them. So, isn't that what God was doing when He created everything? He filled the earth with all the creatures. And then, at the end, God created man to have a position of authority under God over creation. Oh, how blessed. How blessed man was in that position. And we listened to Satan, we listened to the devil, and we lost it all. It is so sad. It is such a deep thing when you think about it. No, it can make you to desire to that renewal that God has prepared for all His children in the Lord Jesus Christ. We read about it in several places in Scripture. Think about 2 Corinthians 3, where we read, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." It's amazing that God is doing that by His Spirit, changing people out of that depravity, lifting them up and changing them from glory to glory into the same image, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We read in Genesis that God created man and that life was breathed in man. So the Spirit is the one that is giving life and the one that is giving spiritual life. So that Spirit is working in this world by the power of the work of Christ, by the power of the Word, to renew man to the image, into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it is so sad when you think about what we lost. But there is such a deep joy and amazing amazement in your heart when you think about that God has prepared a way and given a way to restore that situation, to make it even better, to make it in a situation that we will never be able to fall out of it when we are renewed by that Spirit. And that will not be complete here on earth. No, that's a thing that will continue our whole life. If you know that work of the Spirit in the heart, It will continue. And you will have a desire that the Lord will continue with that work, like we find in the heart and life of Paul. Oh, that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection. You see what a desire. He doesn't say, now I have enough knowledge. No, he has seen Christ. He has received some knowledge. The Spirit is restoring something of what we lost in paradise. And oh, there's a desire to have more of it, that I might know Him in the power of His resurrection. That he might rightly know God, his Creator, heartily love Him, and live with Him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise Him. So that is what we lost, but it is still the high end, the high goal for man. And that is what the Holy Spirit is working in the hearts and lives of the children of God. So we see three things here. To rightly know God, his Creator, to heartily love Him, and live with Him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise Him. So we've thrown it away in our rebellion against God, in our sinfulness, willingly. But God gave His Son, His only begotten Son, so that such sinners would receive it. And Christ is the only man on earth who was really man according to the plan, the design of God. He is the perfect man. Didn't Pilate say, "Behold the man"? He was man, like we should be, and we are not. Yeah, and if you think about those three things, you see them in Christ. Rightly know God. Well, Christ is God and Creator, but at the same time, He became a real man. So, He became like we are, human beings, although without sin. And He is the one that knew God in a perfect way. Rightly know God. Yeah, it's so nice if you think about those things and you think about the three offices of the Lord Jesus. He is the prophet, or you could say the teacher. And so to know God has to do with being a prophet or a teacher. So Christ is the one that can give you what you lost. He has that perfect knowledge of God. He lived in such a way, in that perfect knowledge of God. And it's good to remember that to know God in Scripture, if you take the word from the original language, it does not only mean something that you have in your mind, and like you can read a book and say, okay, now I know. I know what this book is explaining. Then you have some theoretical knowledge. Or if you would take a map and you would say, okay, if I go to Detroit, I have to take this road. I never been there, but now I know the way because I see it here. You could say, well, that's a theoretical knowledge. But the moment that you would take your car and drive there, then afterwards you could say, now I know the way. Because you've experienced what it means to go there. So the word to know is much more than some knowledge in your mind. It's a very deep word. It's even a word used for the intimate relation inside marriage. Like how a husband and his wife know each other. So to know God is to know Him by experience, with a heart, to live with Him. So God is working that knowledge in the hearts of people to know God, that He becomes a living reality for you. He's there. He that is coming to the Lord as to believe that He is, and that He is hearing those that call upon Him, so that we might rightly know God, His Creator. That is the plan with God, the design of God for man, to know Him. That is what is going to happen when the Spirit is working in your life. That's what we see in Christ. So if you have a lack of knowledge, and we do have that by nature, if you experience that, "Pastor, I really struggle. I do not understand the things of God." Oh, you're honest. It's true of each and every one of us. The natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. Even foolishness to him. That's honest. So how can that be solved? That lack of knowledge. That darkness inside. That being depraved of that knowledge. Well, by Christ, He is that most high teacher and prophet. So we should kneel down. Say, "Oh, Lord Jesus, teach me whom Thou art and whom God is and what it means to know Him." So don't listen to Satan if Satan says, "Well, it's impossible for you to be saved. You should know much more." You know, some people have so much knowledge about Scripture. They might be acceptable before God, but you, there's no hope for you. I'm not saying that it's good to have, you know, that it's important that we try to get more and more knowledge of the Word. But we need that knowledge in our hearts. And we need the light of the Spirit and of Christ to know God. And so, if you have a lack of knowledge, you need Him. In Him is to be found and received what you need. And I tell you that God has not made me ashamed. If I look back and God started to work in my heart, oh, there was so much that I had to learn, but He didn't turn me away because of my lack of knowledge. No, He took my hand, and He was guiding and teaching me. He's still doing that, and I still need it so much, so that I might know God, my Creator, and heartily love Him and live with Him in eternal happiness. So to love God, now you could think, "Well, Christ did it in a perfect way." Well, that's what the law is demanding from us, isn't it? To love God above all. You're doing that every moment of your life. What a good life you have. We don't. If you would do that, how good it would be. You will experience that if there are those times that God is working that love in your heart. By the knowledge of Christ, see what He did for me, lost sinner in myself. But oh, I lack it so much. But Christ had it. He showed it when He was on earth. He loved God in a perfect way above all. That's the high goal. Why man is created. That's what we can receive from Christ. What you have to receive for free, by grace. Yeah, that to love God heartily, it remembers us of the office of the priest. A priest had to be merciful. A heart needed a heart burning with mercy. If there would come a Jew with his sacrifices that he had to bring because he sinned, he should not despise that person, but bring that sacrifice so that that Jew in the Old Testament times would see that there is a way from the Lord by the grace of God to be reconciled to God. so that the priest would bring the sacrifice, would pray for the people, and would bless them. You see, what a mercy there is needed in the office of a priest. Christ showed it in his dark world. He showed it so deeply, so rich, so full. Do you see it? Do you see it in the Lord Jesus? He is that perfect priest because he loved God above all. And if that love is in the heart of a human being, there will be love to the neighbor. Oh, you know that love of Christ, that tender love for such a poor sinner as you are. And I am. And that love, that heartily loving God, is worked by the spirits in the hearts of the children of God. As part of that renewal, we need it. We need Christ. By nature, I don't have that love to God. I'm self-centered. I'm cold. I'm hard. I bother about myself. I'm a sinner. I need Christ to change my heart, to have mercy to the people around me that are in darkness and that would perish forever. Otherwise, I can let them go. I need that Spirit of Christ so that I will have compassion with them. You too? You know what it means to receive it from Christ? So, if you say, I don't have that heartly love, well, I have the same answer. It is to be received from Christ. He is that perfect high priest praying now at this very moment in heaven, making intercession for all his children. Now, what a joy if you experience that work of the Spirit in your heart, that there's something of that love, that heartly love, that you get rid of yourself, and that Christ is living in you, within you. Oh, then, yeah, you can tell what it means to be satisfied in living for that high goal for which God created you, to heartily love Him. And the third thing is, and live with Him in eternal happiness to glorify and praise Him. So this is a future that God had prepared. Man would not have fallen, to live with Him in eternal happiness to glorify and praise Him. And that is the future that God has prepared for all those that are drawn by the work and the love of Christ out of the darkness to His light. And that all those that know Christ by a living faith will receive. And they have it already by faith in a certain measure in their hearts. Sometimes they receive and experience something of that future of heaven in their hearts. And if you think about that, what is not fully experienced here, certainly not, but known by faith and will be received afterwards in a perfect way, that future, to live with Him in eternal happiness, to glorify and praise Him. God created us to His own glory and to live with Him. Well, that's something of being a king, to rule with Him in a position of glory and power, authority, what God created man for. What we see in Christ, He became man. But there are those situations that we see that He is the King of Kings, that glory was seen on earth in Christ.
Yeah, he has that office of a king. And all those that belong to him, all the children of God, will share in that glory of Christ that is prepared in his work for them. And something of it is experienced here on earth. In the life of faith, something of that office of a king, which we see in a perfect way in Christ. He lived in a way that he ruled over Satan, tempted by Satan, but conquering Satan in the wilderness, and over sin. You see how he is a king, in victory, in that way that he did never sin, and that he did never give in to Satan. And something of that is worked in the hearts and lives of the children of God. Something of that knowledge of God. Something of that hearty love. Something of that glory. And to praise God that there are those times in your life that you can say, yeah, the power of Christ was in my heart, so that I could run away or overcome the temptation of sin, like Joseph did, by the power of God in his heart. How wonderful that his Spirit here and now is working in such a way in the lives and hearts of people, restoring, renewing them to the image of God. One day it will be perfect. One day it will be that we will really bear that image of God, sharing that glory of Christ. We can read about that in Scripture in several places. Let me try to find a verse. If we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 49, we read, "And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly." Or if you would read in the letters of John, 1 John chapter 3, we can also read about that glory that God has prepared for those that fear him. Oh, how encouraging it is. Here you have the struggle and the fight of faith, but there is a glory prepared, and something of it is experienced here. But it will be perfect by the grace and the faithfulness of God. And we read about it in the first letter of John, chapter 3. We read in verse 21, "Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandment and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." So, and in another place, John is teaching us that we will be like he is. We do not yet see Christ in glory now, but we will receive it in a perfect way. Can you say that? Oh God, I thank thee that thou art working in such a way in my heart that I have that hope. And the biblical hope is not maybe or may not be, but it is firm and strong, like anchor of your soul. One day you will experience being renewed to the image of God, like we see it in Christ. Amen. Let us pray together. O Lord, most gracious God, thou art so great in the work of salvation. And Lord, oh, we still have a fight of faith every day against that old nature. We still have to struggle against those attacks and temptations of Satan and the world and sin. But oh, we know that there is that power of the Spirit, that renewing work. We know it by faith. Lord, if Thou hast worked that faith in our hearts, and if we are here this evening and we say, oh, I lack everything, I lack knowledge, I lack that hearty love, I lack that discipline, that power to fight against sin, oh, then it is to be received in Christ, that we would come, drawn by His love. Lord, bless Thy word to our hearts. Forgive everything that was not according to Thy will. And be with us when we go home. Lord, protect us on the dangerous roads. And be with us in this week. Also when we hope to gather in the middle of the week to hear the word again. That Thou would bless us, O Lord. We need it so much. The word is so deep, so rich. We need a teaching. We need that knowledge. That is eternal life. If it is applied to our hearts, Lord, and Thou art using the means, and that we would have expectation, and that we would seek Thee, and Thou art teaching and promising that we will find Thee. Lord, bless us. We are not worthy all those things that we receive. We do not deserve it. But Thou art worthy to receive all the glory, the praise and the honor. And Lord, give us a heart to give Thee that glory, like we see in Christ that He has done. Glorified Thee while He was on earth. Lord, oh, hear our prayers. Help us. We pray in the forgiveness of our sins. For Christ's sake. Amen.